Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And my name is Mark Muro.
We're going to talk today about Valley Performing Arts Season 36.
And to talk about VPA Season 36, we have Larry Botcham, the Artistic Director, and Gary Forrester, the Executive Director of Valley Performing Arts. Welcome, Gary and Larry.
Thanks, glad to be here.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
Well, good. So, well, just tell us, well, you got, this is the 36th season, Valley Performing Arts, and what's your kickoff play for this new season?
Our kickoff play this season is called It Runs in the Family. It's by Ray Cooney. We've actually done one other show by Ray Cooney several years ago, and it was a flat-out, absolute hysterical bestseller for us, so we thought we'd do one more by Ray, and it's called It Runs in the Family. It's got all kinds of characters. It's got the doctor and his wife, illegitimate child, a doctor's waiting room.
There's no such thing as illegitimate children, only illegitimate parents. But continue.
Plus a syringe full of tranquilizer, rowdy patients, and a rowdy matron. So it's got a little bit of something for everybody there.
Sounds funny.
It sounds good. So it's a comedy.
It absolutely is. It's a farce of all, for everybody.
Okay, and then what happens?
And then we do something really remarkable and different because we've never done this genre of play before, so I'm excited to see it at Valley Performing Arts. It's a ghost story. It's called The Woman in Black. It's been playing in London for the past 5 years, and I recently had a review from a friend of mine who explained the whole story to me, so I ran out and grabbed the script, read it mistakenly in the evening at home, and I was looking behind myself the whole time I sat at home swearing that Woman in Black was behind me. So
the Lady in Black or The Woman in
it's
Black?
It's called The Woman in Black.
Did they do this at Cyrano's?
You know, I don't know if it's been done.
It
could very well have been. It's a two-person play. It's only got two people in the show, two men in the show. But there is the woman in black who is a character, but she's not. So it's a true ghost story.
I hear it's really clever and funny and great.
It's not funny a bit. It should scare the pants off you.
Okay, it's not a comedy.
Not at all. We hope to scare the pants off everybody who sees that show.
Wow.
So, I got to see this.
Yes. So it's not a thrill in any way. I mean, we've got it kind of listed in the thriller genre, but it's absolute ghost story should be great. And it's right in the Halloween season, so we're looking forward to this one.
Oh, that's good. I love the scary show around that time of year.
And what's next?
And then right after that, we're doing something classical. It is in the Christmas genre. That Christmas story everybody loves with Mr. Scrooge and Ebenezer and everybody else. Or A Christmas Carol will be next on the agenda there. And it's a classical version, Charles Dickens. Absolutely three ghosts, Christmas present, Christmas past, Christmas future. Should be great for a big family show.
But this one is different. This version was written by John Jakes, the author, did North and South and all the other books like that. And this actually has Charles Dickens is actually a character in the play.
He really?
Actually comes
How
out
interesting.
And introduces the play and then actually interacts with the actors and things like that throughout the play. So it's an interesting take on a story. It's a new twist to an old story. So I think there's enough change to keep it fresh for everybody.
That's what I was wondering, if you're going to do the classic one every 10 years or so, somebody has to do the classic one. But that's interesting that you're going to do the change.
Yeah, and I love the fact that Dickens is a character in his story.
That's interesting.
Because I read once that Charles Dickens, when he was writing his stories, he'd get like possessed and he'd start channeling the characters. And right in the middle of a sentence, he'd run up and go to the mirror and he'd start like making faces and he'd become the character and he'd start speaking like the character would speak. His daughter said this. She said, like, watching my dad write plays, you know, was like watching a madman. You know, so that's probably probably some of the stuff he might be doing in the play. I have no idea.
So it'll be an interesting show. It's a different take, and we're excited about it.
Looking forward to that because I'm a big fan of that play and that story. That's great. So what else?
Well, talking about a new twist on an old story, we have God's Favorite, which is the modern day story of the biblical story of Job.
Oh, he was the bad luck guy.
Yeah, he's the bad gut luck guy. And so we have this conflict between God and the devil, and they make a bet regarding whether or not this fellow that they have in front of them will actually turn into the story.
Okay, so pile it on. I'm Job.
Pile it on. He's Job.
I think I read about that play. It's very interesting.
It's an old Neil Simon play. We've actually done it before. It was hysterical back then, and it'll be hysterical now.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen it.
What's it called again?
God's Favorite.
God's Favorite. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That rings a big bell with me.
So this is like from the 70s?
It is. Well, let's see. I think we performed it in the early 80s, so I believe that Neil Simon wrote it in the mid-70s.
Yeah, he was cranking them out
two years
back then.
He was.
Come Blow Your Horn. That was the first one, I think. Wow. Neil Simon, you know, it's funny. We don't really see that much of Neil Simon lately. He's kind of fallen a bit away, you know, from the darling of the 70s and 80s and 90s. He's, you know, I don't know. Does he get produced a lot? You guys
much.
Haven't done anything by him lately.
Not lately.
I don't think anybody has.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of dated.
It's kind of dated. Yeah, yeah. Even The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what's next?
Right after that, we have 12 Angry Jurors, which is the spin on the 12 Angry Men from years ago. Mm-hmm. We've now modernized it to include women on the jury.
Right.
So it's called 12 Angry Jurors.
Wow.
It's a very classical courtroom drama type of story.
It was Henry Fonda movie. Yeah. Everybody was in
the
TV
courtroom.
Somebody did that in town this year. Or last
year. They did it at the university did it.
The university did it. That's right. Because I saw it.
Right.
And I liked it very much. It's a very good play.
That was a big play when it first came out.
It truly was. And we hope to make it even better with us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty.
Good.
Jack Klugman was in it. He with his famous switchblade monologue.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Gary Forrester and Larry Botchin, talking about Valley Performing Arts' upcoming season.
Number 36, I might add.
That's right.
Could you believe you've been in business for 36 years?
When you look back at it, it's amazing to think that it's gone by so fast.
Yeah.
Larry was only a baby when we started, but...
I was there.
He was there at the beginning. He was directing back then in his diapers. But it's exciting to know that, you know, we're one of the longest continuously running community theaters in the state. And to know that where we're at right now versus where, you know, we started in a log cabin church on the fairgrounds in 1976 with a bunch of benches and only 1-inch foam padding.
Oh, yeah, and that church is still there.
And the church is still there. And then we moved into a building adjacent to that a few years later, then physically moved that theater portion over to where we are right now in Wasilla and added on. And it just grows
it's
and grows and grows.
It's a great theater. Oh, you got such a supportive community.
We do.
You're like the envy.
Yeah, my daughter was one of the original board of directors.
Really?
Yes. And I used to go up, of course, for that reason, to see every play in those days.
And they do such a good job, too.
Gail Janicek is who I'm speaking of.
Oh. And we, it was interesting. We did a retrospective. We just had our annual meeting in June. And I actually went back in the archives and pulled a bunch of photographs and programs from every season so we could do a montage of the pictures
nice.
And programs for our last annual meeting. It was nice for people that weren't there and haven't been there for 35 years to see what was going on back then. And for somebody like Larry, who was... sat through it. You know, we had a long conversation afterwards about, oh, I forgot about that, and that was exciting, and it just to think of where we're at and where we're now and where we're going to be.
Isn't that funny how you can remember every play? Like Sandy was here last week, and she had that big list of Cyrano's plays, and I couldn't resist. I had to go home and highlight the ones I saw, put little dots next to the ones. I remember every play and who was in it and how it looked.
You remember everything you ever read,
well,
sir.
It's a curse,
my friend.
Yeah, I know. But I can't find my keys.
You ever
it's
saw.
Crazy. Yeah. So what else you got?
Well, the play that's coming after that is a musical. It is called The Wizard of Oz, and that's the one I'm particularly excited about because I'm directing that one.
This one sounds familiar.
It is familiar.
What's
because
it about?
The Anchorage Performing Arts Center did it a couple of years ago, but. You know, one of the things that drove me to do the show was it was for a family of four, it was nearly impossible for them to afford to go to the PAC because at $70, $80 per tickets, normal family of four can't afford that. So I thought, oh, here's a great opportunity for us to do something and show our chops that we can do something really great, really exciting, bring it to stage in the true film version and make it equally as exciting what they see in Anchorage here and do it for a whole heck of a lot less money. So we're trying to make it affordable for everybody to be able to come see this show. So we've extended this show to 27 performances, which will be an all-time record for the Valley Performing Arts.
And it's such a great show because it really involves everybody in the community. I mean, you're going to have like tons of costumes.
Tons. We have 121 costumes we counted just the other day, and we'll be having a cast of close to 50, and I've already developed a crew of close to 48 with 13 costumers.
In that little but very good theater, I mean, the stage is well is well arranged.
It's going to be a huge effort, but it will definitely pay off for it.
And you're directing this.
I am.
Behemoth, this monstrosity.
It is. It is. I started about a year ago, but it still won't show until the middle of March of 2012.
You
it takes that long time
it.
To
You got to make a film, The Making of the Wizard of Oz.
Well, we're creating a book, actually. It's called The Making of the Wizard of Oz, and so we've been taking the pictures
that's
of all the
mean.
Things
yeah,
that are going on right now.
That's excellent.
It's a great idea because this is a story unto itself.
It is.
And it could be such a good forensic deconstruction of the community theater in a small town. The Making Wizard of Oz, you can make a movie out of it. You know, like a play within the play, all the stuff that can go wrong.
Yeah, but you don't want a movie because then he wants George Clooney to play him, and it just
that just wouldn't work.
Pull that off.
Oh well, yeah, that's okay. You could get like maybe kind of like the young Dick Sargent. Remember, he replaced Dick York on Bewitched.
Absolutely.
You kind of look like him a bit. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, we're almost out of time. What else?
We have one more show. It's called The Trip to Bountiful. Very sweet drama.
Oh, yeah, Horton Foot.
Yes. Horton Foot's Trip to Bountiful.
Yeah, again, it's a teleplay. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to that
lovely
show as well.
Play.
Very sweet show to end the season.
Really great. Great show.
But unfortunately, we're running out of time, so we can't talk about it too much. But we want to thank you for coming. Gary Forrester, who is the executive director, and Larry Botchin, who's the artistic director of Valley Performing Arts, one of the oldest theater groups in Alaska.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. And now, here's a Stage Chat calendar. And remember, for another calendar, or to post your event, go to Datebook 49 on alaskapublic.org. At Cyrano's, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee is in its last 2 weeks. Performances will be 7 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday and 3 p.m. on Sunday. This comedy is a big hit with audiences, and if you like to spell, you may have a chance to join in. For tickets and information for either show, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
The Winter Bear Project is seeking Alaska Native actors as well as Caucasian actors. Roles are age 17 to 90. Auditions in Anchorage continue tonight and tomorrow. The Winter Bear Project, the Winter Bear play performs October 17th through the 23rd at the Wildberry Theater during the AFN conference in Anchorage. Roles may be double cast in anticipation of touring this spring and throughout 2012. For information or to arrange an audition, please contact Jane Wegner at jwegner, that's J-W-E-N-G-E-R, at well.com or Janet Stoneburner at ghostlightak@gmail.com.
The Alaska Native Center's Alaska Native Playwrights Project seeks to identify, teach, and nurture Alaska Native playwrights. It's now recruiting the next cohort of 10 Alaska Native artists from across the state for a year-long mentorship. The deadline is August 31st. Call Ed Bourgeois at 907-330-8057.
In Talkeetna, Denali Drama presents How to Make Love Like an Alaskan and Sleepless in Soldotna. Summer performances run through August the 31st on Sunday through Wednesday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available for all dates at denaliartscouncil.org.
Out North presents Hedwig and the Angry Inch through August 28th. Showtimes are Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 7 and 10. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
And finally, this weekend, one of the best-kept secrets of theater, the Alaska Overnighters will be held Saturday and Sunday at APU's Grant Hall. These are amazing short plays written in 12 hours and produced fully staged in another 12. Well-known local playwrights are given a choice of subjects and cast one evening, and then they are required to write a play for them by 8 o'clock the next morning. The cast and director must have it memorized, rehearsed, and on stage by 8 that night. Each evening has 4 or 5 different plays. The times are 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, August 20th and 21st at APU's Grant Hall. No reservations and necessary tickets are available at the door. Well, that's it for this week's Stage Talk. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.